The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
This week's Parasha is Parashas Toldos. Toldos deals with the birth of Yaakov and Esav, and they're growing up. And the brochas, which Yitzchak wanted to give to Esav, and through Rivka's intervention was given to Yaakov. We've given many, many shurim on various facets of Yaakov and Esav, which play such an important role in the establishment of Yisrael, of the nation of Israel, and in Esav's nations. This evening, I'd like to basically dwell on the distinctions between the two that we can learn from the Sedra. Yaakov became the father of Klal Yisrael. And Klal Yisrael, the nation of Israel, is named after him. B'nai Yisrael, Yisrael was Yaakov's name. And they became the nation which was equal to all of the 70 nations of the world. Esav became the father of Edom, which is considered perhaps one of the great foundations of the nations of the world. From him came the Roman Empire, and the sages, the Chazal, refer to Esav's nation as the Malchus Arvis, the fourth great empire, which would rule the world. She'ein Cheker, which one can have no comprehension of its rishah, of its wickedness, its ruthlessness, or can prophesy to its very end, and they will rule until the Melech HaMashiach comes b'mehera v'yameinu. So therefore these two twins play a very great role in the history of the world. And the Torah tells us, the Torah gives us many signs, many implications in order to read into their qualities, their personalities, their essences, and to see what the distinction is between them. Let's see if we can understand some of these signs from this parsha. The Torah tells us that when they were born, Vayetze Harishon Admeini, this is in Bosu Chofei, Vayetze Harishon Admeini, that the first one to be born was Esav. So here we can ask a question: why was Esav born first, and why was he Zocher, had the schus to be born first before Yaakov? Yaakov was to become greater than him, and that he took the schus abecheira, he took the right of the firstborn. Then it states Admoni. Now Admoni has two interpretations. Rashi brings Admoni from the word Edom, Admimus, that he was born red. This is what Rashi brings from the Medrash. There's another interpretation that he was from the word Odom, which is brought in some of the Rishonim, the Chizkuni and other Rishonim. Odom means he was born already like a man. Kulei kaderi se'or, and he was like Rashi tells us, a talis shel tzemer. He was full of hair, like a garment, a woolen garment. And vayikru shmei Esav, and they called him Esav. Rashi tells us why, from the word osu, because he was already complete. He was already complete. Naseh v'nigmar b'sarei k'ben shonim harveh. Full of hair, very mature, like a son, like a person who was many years old. So here we see that he was born as an Odom. He was born as a complete person, not like a one-day-old or one-hour-old baby, but like a complete person, and with hair. Why? What does this represent? That's a second question. Yaakov, on the other hand, later on states, was Ishcholok. His skin was very smooth, just the opposite.
Another question. It states, "Vayigdulano orim." The children grew up. Esav ishu deyatzayid ishode. It gives two descriptions on what they were after they grew up for each of them. And Esav, it states, yodeyatzayid, that he knew how to hunt. What does it mean that he knew how to hunt? See, here Rashi tells us, I mean, this couldn't be a description that the Torah wants to tell us something about him, that he knew how to hunt. What does that tell us about him? So Rashi tells us, Lot sud vel ramesh es oviv befiv. He knew how to capture his father through his words. V'sho'alo abo he'ayich ma'asvin as ha'melech v'asateven. He would ask his father questions. For example, how do you give ma'isa? We have to give 10% of the grains. Grains are something which grow from the earth. So he would ask, what's the deen? What is the law in regards to melech, in regards to salt? That's a good question, because it doesn't grow in the ground, but still it comes from the ground. So how do you give ma'isar on it? Vesateven. And the same thing he would ask when it came to hay. How would you give ma'isar on the hay? That's also a question, because it's not a Michael Odom, it's not a food which you feed people with. Ksover oviv shumadakli gimme mitzvahs. So from these questions, his father held that Esav was a great tzaddik, a very righteous person. A medaktik v'mitzvahs. Medaktik v'mitzvahs means someone who is very careful and very strict in the fulfillment of mitzvahs. He's even worried on how to give ma'aser, how to give the 10% on the salt and on the hay. But Esav was just asking his father this in order to be lotzud b'fiv, to hunt, to capture him with his mouth. So this is another description the Torah gives us. You're there outside. Then it states, Ish Soder. Esav was a man of the field. What does that mean? So Rashi tells us, Kimashmo, Odom bottle, Vitzud Bekashti Chayis Ve'Efes. He was a person who pursued luxuries. Odom bottle, he wasn't too industrious when it came to work, but used to spend a lot of time in the fields hunting. On the other hand, the two descriptions that it states on Yaakov after he grew up, Ish Tom, Yeshiva Olim. He was a person, Tam means upright and honest and sincere. Just the opposite. He wasn't someone who hunted and captured with his mouth, but he was upright, honest, and sincere. Rashi says, "Eina boki b'chol eila." He was not an expert in conning people, in misleading people. Elok kelibay kentiv. Whatever was in his heart was in his mouth. Misha eina chedif chorif l'rames koritam. Someone who was not shrewd and clever to misrepresent is called a tam. That's one description on Yaakov. A second description, Yoshev Olim, that he dwelled in tents. Rashi says, Olo shall shame, Olo shall ever. He used to dwell in the tents of Torah of Shem ever. Shem ever were the sons and the descendants of Nayach that had yeshivas. And instead of spending his time on the field, he was in the tents of Torah. Then the Torah tells us, "Vayehav Yitzchok es Esav kitzai b'fiv." Yitzchok loved Esav. Now this is a question: how could it be that Esav was supposed to was such a rosho, such a wicked person? Later on, Rashi brings where he had committed all of the severe averas of the Torah. Whether it came to acts of immorality or murder or whatever it might have been. And Yitzchok loved him. So Rashi tells us, Kitzai Befiv, it could have been because he had captured him with his mouth. Or there's another interpretation, Kitzai Befiv, that he used to bring the food that he hunted to his father Yitzchok. Now, why is this a reason that Yitzchok should love him? So the Chazal tell us that Esav served his father Yitzchok in a way which was unequaled. Esav fulfilled Kibud Av, the honoring of his father, in a way which even Yaakov could not equal. Not only did he bring his food that he hunted to him, but the Gemara says, one great sage said on himself that when I would serve my father, so if I would make something for him, and I was working in the kitchen, and I didn't have my best clothes on, because I was working in the kitchen, so I would come and serve it to my father in those clothes. But Esav would put on Bigdei Malchus. Whenever he would go to serve something to his father, he would wear royal garments. So this is another question. Why do we find that this quality, by this Rosh, or this person, where he should serve his father in such a great measure, even greater than Yaakov, and this caused a great love between the two, why do we find this by Esav? Then, another implication we have from the Torah. The Torah brings the episode of the nozid, of the porridge. That Yaakov was making porridge and Esav came from the field and he was famished. And that day he had committed some serious averus, the Torah tells us. And Esav asked, give me some of this porridge, min ho'odeim ho'odeim hazeh, this red porridge. Ki oyif anochi, because I am famished. And al kein krosh my edim. And this is why Esav and his nations were known as Edom, because of the red porridge. Now, what does that mean? Because Esav wanted the red porridge, therefore he was called Edom, and his nation was called Edom. And then it states that Esav, Yaakov offered to sell Esav the porridge. What would he sell it for? He says, if you give me the right of your first, of your birthright, and the fact that you were the firstborn, I'll give you the porridge. So on that Esav said, Hinei hanechi halech lomus, velomazeli becheder. I am going to die, so what do I need this firstborn right for? Now what does that mean? He said, since I'm going to die, I don't need the birthright anyhow. So therefore, I'll sell it to you and I'll take the porridge. And then one final remark. A little later in the Torah, in Pesuk, in Chof Zayin, Pesuk Tes Vov, when Yitzchok wanted to bless Esav, and Rivka came, and she told Yaakov, you go instead. And Yaakov said, but he'll recognize me, my father. So it states, Vatikach Rivka es bigde Esav beno hagod lachamudes asherito babois. Rivka took the very, very precious garments which belonged to her older son, which was with her in the house, Vatalbish es Yaakov beno hakotun, and she clothed her younger son, Yaakov, in these garments. Now the question is, why were these clothing in by Rivka? And certainly Esav could have kept them himself. He was a grown man. So the Chazal tell us that he didn't trust his wives. Esav suspected his wives of stealing the clothing. Therefore he kept his clothing by his mother Rivka. But this also doesn't make sense. The man usually doesn't keep his clothing by his mother because he's afraid that his wife is going to steal and sell his clothing. So the answer is, the sages tell us, is these were not regular clothing. They were bigdei hamudais,
They were very, very precious clothing.
Rashi just brings a part of the drosha,
but he says, where did he get these clothing from? This clothing from? He got it from Nimrod. Nimrod was one of the great kings who lived during the time of Avraham, a very powerful king. And Esav killed him and took these clothing. And what was so special about these clothing? These were the big day Odom Arishon, the clothing of the first man. Kodesh Baruch Hu made clothing for Odom. And when he died, they went from hand to hand until Nimrod got them. And Esav wanted them. And he killed Nimrod and he took the clothing. These were the clothing, garments that Esav was worried that his wives would steal. So he took them and he kept them by Rivka. And she took these clothing and she put them on Yaakov. From here we can see that it could be that all the time when Esav would go serve his father, he would put these clothing on. This clothing on. Because it was Rivka's intentions to make Yaakov seem as much like Esav as possible. Now, the question there is why did Esav have the schus that he should become the owner of the clothing of Odom Arishon? So we have many questions and many implications, if we can understand some of them, that perhaps will give us an insight into the qualities and the characters of Yaakov and Esav. Let's try to explain some of this. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the man. He created man from two worlds. Ofer min Adoma, from the dust of the earth, Vayipach be'apov nishmas chai, and he gave him a soul, a living soul from above. He was created from the lower world, the Olam HaTachton, which is called the Olam Hazer, this world. It's also known as the Olam HaChemer, the physical world. And this is represented by the earth, the dust of the earth. But there is no life in the physical world. He gave him a Nishmas Chayim, a living soul, a living life from an upper world. And that is called the Olam HaElyon, or the Olam HaTzura, spiritual world, or Olam HaBo. Man was created from both worlds. He's not only from the physical world. If he sinks only to the physical world, then he's kebehemus nidmu. He's like an animal. It's basically physical. And he's not only from the spiritual world, because then he would be kemalach. He would be like an angel. But he's made from both worlds, and he must live on both worlds. He must live on both worlds, like we gave a shiur not long ago on Derech Eretz. You mean Torah in Derech Eretz? If there's no Torah, then there's no Derech Eretz. If there's no Derech Eretz is what the physical world requires from a person, what physical life requires from a person, from an earthly being. You mean Derech Eretz in Torah? And therefore he has to walk on both worlds. I believe it was the Chavis HaVovos, either the Sefer Chavis HaVovos or Sefer Reish Chochma, was quoted many times by the Telzer Rosh Yeshiva, who would say, he writes that a person has to be Reish Bashomayim V'Raglov Ben Chavris Anoshim. A man has to have his head in the heavens but his feet in society. There's an English saying that comes from there. You must have your head in the heavens and your feet on the ground. But he said more than that. It's not enough to have your feet on the ground. But ben heves anoshim, your feet have to be on the ground between people. You have to walk and live between people, but your head has to be in the heavens. So man must live on both worlds. But the physical element in man was not given to man to rule him. Rather, the soul of man, the intellect of man, the neshama of man was given to rule him, and that the physical elements in man should serve the spiritual elements. Who should be the king? That's the spirit of man. And the physical elements of man were given to serve the spirit, not that the spirit was given to serve the physical. And then he can come to a perfection. In this way, the physical body which was given to him, and all of these physical powers that were given to him, they were like a garment. They were like a levush for the spiritual forces of the soul, in order that he can attain perfection. Now, the physical world is referred to as an elam hachitzon, an external world. It's the world we see, and it's like a garment. A person you see in him wearing his clothing. The spiritual world, that is known as the olam apnimi. That's an inner world. And that's behester. That's hidden. Because we cannot see that. Earthly man we see. What HaKadosh Baruch Hu made from the earth, from mina ofor, that we see. That's physical man. But the soul which was blown into him, those spiritual forces, those we don't see. The earth became a garment for the soul. Therefore, the physical world is the world which is nearer. That's the apparent world. And that is known as the Elam Achitz, the external world. While the spiritual world, the spiritual forces in man, this is Elam Apnimi. This is hidden and concealed, an inner world. And therefore, the physical world is like a garment to clothe the soul. Now, Yaakov, who was the perfection of Avraham and Yitzchok, Avraham laid a great foundation in the world. And Yitzchok came and laid another great foundation in the world. And Yaakov perfected it. And came, attained the greatest level of perfection. He reached this. He took the two worlds and he let the spiritual forces of himself rule until he mastered both worlds. And therefore, Yaakov was called the Baal Elam Habo. His world was the spiritual world, where he realized that this earthly world is merely to serve the spiritual forces and the spiritual goals that man has to attain. Esav was the opposite. Esav was the Baal Elam Hazer. He became a master over the physical world. And he became so close to the physical world and so bound up in the physical world. Well, this was his entire world. And the spiritual world against this became as a non-entity. So these two twins, one was to become a giant of the spirit. And the other was to become the giant of earthly man, of physical man. Yaakov realized that everything that comes from man must emanate from the soul of man. And it must emanate from the soul of man through And by utilizing the physical qualities of God, so Yaakov's forces were pinimi, were the inner forces that would come from the deepest part of man and emanate outwards. Esav was the opposite. By him the physical world was everything. The spirit was nothing. And therefore he was the epitome of a physical man. Now, it is for this reason that that Esav was born first. Because birth is coming into the physical world. When the fetus is in the womb, so he has not yet come into this world. He's not a physical being. Birth brings him into the physical world. Esav was much closer to the physical world than Yaakov was. And therefore Esav came first and Yaakov only later. This we find always in the growth in the world. That a spiritual force always comes later. A physical force comes first. For example, the Gemara tells us that an embryo, when it's in the womb of the mother, near Delek al Reishay, there's a candle over its head. This represents the soul. Why is it over its head? Because it has not yet entered into the body. When the baby is born, then the soul enters the body. So we see that while he's physically forming himself, the soul is still distant from the body. There we see physical development before spiritual development. The same thing in the growth of a child. The Yetzer Hara, the physical powers of evil, enter the body as soon as he's born, from day one. The Yetzer Tov, the good forces, spiritual forces, only enter into the body when he's 13 years old. It comes later. This we see with Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael, which is the spiritual nation of all of the nations, came into being last. It was the last nation to be created of the 70 nations. That which comes last is always a sign of a spiritual force. That what comes first is a sign of a physical force. And therefore Esav came Rishayin, and after him came Yaakov. And this is the power of being concealed, and it's also the power of tznius. When we refer to tznius, we're referring to something which is hidden. This is why we find we also find it in the creation of man. It states that first HaKadosh Baruch Hu made man from the earth and then he gave him a soul. First came the physical formation and then the spiritual. We see this also, for example, by the daughters of Lot, the two daughters of Lot that had a union with him. It states that the younger one, the one that was younger, she was born later, she was more of a tsnua. She was more private and concealed than the first one. The first one called the child. The first one called the child Moab, which meant it's a child from the father. And the second one concealed the name and called Amain ben Ami, from my nation. It states the same by Rochel. Rochel was the younger of the daughter. The Gemara says she was very tsnua, she was very concealed. Binyamin was the last of the 12 sons. And on Binyamin it states that he was a Yidid Hashem, he was very close to Hashem, very beloved, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose his territory to place the Beis HaMikdash. Beis HaMikdash was the place which concealed the spirit of Hashem. So this is a principle we have all of the time. Even though the Rishon also was a Schus, for example, the one who's born first is a leader, the one who's born first is a Melech, is a Bechor. But nevertheless, when it comes to the power of the Tenimios, the power of a concealed spiritual force, or the spiritual force which is always usually concealed, that is last. So therefore, Esav was first, and Yaakov was last. For this reason also, Esav was called Admoni. Admoni here, we're saying, means Odom. He was called a man. He was like a Aderes Seor, like a Talis Shilzema, a woolen Talis. And they called him Esav Osud. He was already made. Being this, having this bond with the physical world, he was a physical being. And therefore these were the physical characteristics of Esav. While by Yaakov was an Ishmael. He was not full of hair, he was very smooth. Then the Torah tells us they grew up. And Yaakov was Yodea Tzayit Ishoder. He knew how to hunt, and we said that means he knew how to capture his father with his mouth. Excuse me. This power that Esav had, where he knew how to hunt, to deceive. We once mentioned, I heard in the name of Reb Shimshon of El Hirsch, Zichrei Yivroch, that when a person hunts animals, even though it's considered a very good sport to hunt, nevertheless, he's like a crook, like a gamath. What does he do? He tries to deceive the animal. He throws in a bait, or he puts up a decoy and tries to deceive the animal, tries to lure the animal into a trap, and then he springs on him. This power of hunting is a power of deception. And Esav had this power. This is what the Torah tells us. It says, Yodea Tzayit. He knew the craft of deception. So great was his power of deception that even his father he deceived. To the point where Yitzchok, Eves Esav, Yitzchok loved Esav more than Yaakov. Yaakov was, here we're speaking of Yaakov, who was to become the most righteous person in the world. And still, Yitzchok loved Esav more than Yaakov. This was the great power of deception. To the point where the brachos, which were the eternal forces for Klal Yisrael, he was ready to give to Esav. So don't take this power lightly. Now, this goes hand in hand with what Esav was. Because the power of deception is in the physical world. Because I'll tell us, the sages tell us, that the physical world is a world of deception. It calls this world the Alma de Shikra, the world of deception. The fact is, the word Olam comes from the word Helem, which means to distort, to conceal. And why is it? Because the physical world, as we mentioned, is the outer world. It is like a garment. It is like a shell for the inner spiritual force. A garment can deceive. When someone is wearing something, you don't see the person, you see what he's wearing. The person projects his image to you through the clothing that he's wearing.
garments have the power to deceive because they cover the person. Therefore, the physical world has the power to deceive, because the physical world is the garment, just like the physical body is the garment which covers the soul. Esav, who was the Baal Olam Hazeh, he was the master of this world. Therefore, he became also the master of deception. The one who knew how to capture and to hunt, and even deceive his father. Then we go one step further. Incidentally, this is why the Chazal always warn us: "Al tistakel bikankan ele bamesh yesh bay." Don't look at the container, but look at what's in the container. It's interesting because Esav, who was to become the father of Rome, and Rome the father of the Western culture. An American businessman once told me, he says that you can market anything if it's packaged properly. You can market anything if it's packaged properly. This has been mistackled in the Kankan, and not by Meshi Yeshbo, but this is what Western culture is used to. See, they look at the package, they look at the container, not what's in it. And this is why Chazal say, tzaddikim or reshoim, eimrim harbe ve'einem esim afilu me'at. Reshoim say a lot and they do little. This is all from the outer world. And then now there's another level. Not only did he deceive, was he a master of deception in worldly affairs, what we find today in the Western culture, but he was a master of deception also in spiritual affairs. And this is a step further. Not only was he a master of deception in worldly affairs, but also in spiritual affairs. He would come and ask his father, how do you give Meiser on Melech? How do you give Meiser on salt? How do you give Meiser on hay? His father thought, look, he said, look how frum my son is. Look how righteous he is. Look how exacting he is with mitzvahs. Not only was he a deceiver in the worldly affairs of the world, but also in the spiritual affairs. To distort right from wrong and wrong from right. This, the Chazal tell us, is the quality of the Chazir. Later on in the Parsha, it states that Esav went, and when he was 40 years old, he got married. Why? Because he said, Abba, my father got married when he was 40, so therefore I also will get married when he was 40. When I'm 40. So the Chazal say, why did he do this? Because he wanted to emulate the deeds of his father. But they were empty deeds. Yitzchak was a korban eile. Yitzchak had sacrificed himself on the Mizbeach, on the altar. Yitzchak came to the ultimate of purity. And afterwards, he got married at 40. Well, Esav was the ultimate in promiscuity. Esav used to go and he would abduct women from their husbands. Then at 40 he says, I will emulate the deeds of my father. This was only for a show, the Chazal tell us. This was for the world's sake. He wanted to show the world that he's like his father. But in reality he was tomei. He was totally impure. And Rashi there brings a pasuk from Tehillim where Esav is compared to the Chazir. Why to the Chazir? From all of the impure animals, there is only one impure animal that has kosher hoofs. Every animal has
either two signs of kashrus or two signs of tuma, of impurity.
They don't chew their cud,
or they don't have split hoofs. One sign is bifnim, one sign is concealed, the lack of chewing one's cud. The other sign is revealed, the lack of split hoofs. The chazir, the pig, is the only impure animal that does not chew its cud,
but still his hoofs look kosher. He has split hoofs.
And therefore he sits, not like other animals, with his hoofs outward, because he wants to show the world, look, I'm kosher. And meanwhile, he's the ultimate, he's a chazir, he's the ultimate of tumah. But what does this show us? That all other animals, if they're impure, if they're tomei, they don't try to show themselves to be tohor. The chazir, even though he's tomei, but still mibachutz, exterior, he tries to cast an image of righteousness. And Esav is compared to this. So not only was he a master of deception in worldly affairs, but he was a master of deception also in spiritual affairs, where he would go and try to make himself a medaktik b'mitzvahs, to look like he's frum, to look like he's righteous, and meanwhile he was the epitome of tuma, of impurity. This is a quality that was to go for generations into Esav's nations, into his children. You'll find many of his nations, not only were they from the most wicked and ruthless nations, but at the same time they were very careful that the image that they projected in the world would be one of total purity. Then it states, Isode. He was a man of the field. Now this Rashi said, Ish Botel. He's a person that He was a person who would go out into the fields and spend his days hunting and a sport and other such things. This means that he seeked luxuries, tanugim, and atzlus. He didn't work very hard. This also is a quality of many of the nations that came from Esav. And this is a quality of the physical world. Because the sages tell us the physical world the physical world seeks rest. The earth rests. The earth doesn't have a lot of ambition, and the earth doesn't have a lot of motivation. Motivation comes from the spirit. Ambition comes from the spirit. That's from the life that HaKadosh Baruch Hu put in the man. But this that he's made from the earth, this is a daemon. This is silent. This stands still. This doesn't move. And therefore, it states, atzlus, lack of ambition, laziness, this comes from the physical powers of man. Zrizus, ambition, to achieve, this comes from the spiritual powers of man. And therefore Esav was an Isoder. He spent his days in the fields, Isayed, where he would hunt and seek luxuries. The goof, the body, always seeks luxuries, it seeks tanugim, and it seeks rest. By Yaakov it states the opposite. Yaakov it says he was Ishtab. Tam means the person who's perfectly sincere. He's upright. What does this show? This shows the panemius, the inner part of a person. Because deception comes from the outer part of the person. This shows that he was attached to the other world, not to the physical world. Actually, the other world is referred to as the Olam HaEmes, the world of truth. He was far from the physical world. And anything that emanated from him did not emanate merely from the exterior, but emanated from the interior outward.
And therefore, Masha Belayb, whatever was in his mouth was in his heart. He was an Ishtam. This shows the level of emes, of truth in Yaakov Avinu. Yosheva Olim, he dwelled in tents. From here, we learn several things. Firstly, that he was the quality of Torah. Torah is from the other world. Torah is the quality of emes. Secondly, Torah takes labor. Labor day and night. States only someone who will labor in Torah by day and night will come to the level of Torah. And this was Yaakov. When it says Yesheva Olim, that he dwelled in tents, it's referring to the tents of Shem Be'Aver. And there the Chazal tell us that for 14 years he dwelled in those tents by day and night and studied without interruption. For 14 years. He would hardly sleep during those years in order to be zeichet to Torah. Torah is the epitome of labor. It says, Shetiu amelim b'Torah. Im yogatu motzos, if you labor, you will find. This is the tremendous rizus, the ambition and motivation that comes from the spirit, that comes from the soul. And another point, it states ohel, the tents. It doesn't say bais, not a house, but a tent. A bais represents something which is physically strong. A tent represents something which can be moved from one place to the other, which is not permanent. Yaakov viewed this world, the physical world, as a temporary world, merely as a world to come to a greater world. Then we asked, why does it say Vayav Yitzchok es Esav, that Yitzchok loved Esav more than Yaakov? And we said it was because that Esav served Yaakov with such greatness. Excuse me, Esav served Yitzchok with such greatness that even Yaakov could not compare this himself to. Big de chamudes, when he would go in to serve his father, he would put on these royal clothing, which he got, which were the inheritance, which were the clothing of Odom Arishon, of the first man. How is it that Esav came to such levels in this mitzvah of kiburav, of serving one's father? It's interesting that this is not only something that we find by Esav and Yaakov, but we find it also by the descendants of Esav and Yaakov. The Gemara brings in Masechta Kedushin that when the Chazal speak about the mitzvah of serving one's father, it brings a role model from a Roman. It says a certain Roman, and it starts to tell stories how he used to serve his father. And it uses that as a role model that we should take lesson from. Now, why is it? And this, the Moral says, something very deep. Esav came to greater levels in Kibbutz Av and serving one's father than Yaakov. And why? Gemara tells us, Gimel Shutfinbo, that there are three partners in the creation of man. A father, a mother, and a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Each one contributes elements towards the creation of man. The father gives from himself something physically. The mother gives from herself something physically. And Hashem gives spiritual elements into him. And the Gemara also tells us that just like one must have great respect for his father, he must have even greater respect for his Rebbe, because the father brings him into the physical world, but the Rebbe brings him into the spiritual world. So we see there are different dimensions in a father. There's a physical father. He has made physical man. There's a physical mother. She has made physical man. And then there's a spiritual father also. A Kodesh Baruch Hu. Or a Rebbe. It's impossible for Yaakov or his children, a Jew, it's impossible
for them to give a commitment in totality, in an uncompromising totality, to the father and mother. It's an impossibility. Why? Because since they see both worlds, they see the physical world and they see the spiritual world, they see that their father and mother brought them into this world, but they also have a spiritual father that might be the one who taught them Torah. That's HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the Torah commands us. The Torah says, Kaber es avicha v'esimecho. And then it says, v'eshapseisai tishmeiru. You must honor your father and mother, but you must keep my Shabbos, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says. Your father and mother tell you to transgress Shabbos? No, you must not listen to them. Because I'm also your father. So therefore, he shall be vimatiro. Therefore, a person from the Bnei Yaakov, they have a dual loyalty. They have to, they're commanded to give a great part of themselves to their father and mother. But they also must give great honor to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that he shares his honor with a father and mother, but he doesn't give it all away. But when it comes to Esav, Esav never saw the next world. He wasn't interested in the next world. He only saw this world. As far as Esav was concerned, there was no next world. Esav saw the physical world. Esav worshipped the physical world. And Esav's whole life and ambition was for the physical world, to conquer the physical world. And therefore, when he saw who brought him into this world, he only saw a physical father and mother. He never saw a spiritual father and mother. And therefore, Esav and his descendants were able to give a commitment in totality. They had an uncompromising bond of love for their father and mother. Therefore, the Gemara, when it's talking of the great mitzvah of Kibbutz Av V'Em, it brings great deeds from various Romans. And therefore, Esav served Yitzchok with such fervor, this helped to establish this tremendous bond between Yitzchok and Esav. And therefore it states, Vayev Yitzchok es Esav kitzai b'fiv. Yitzchok loved Esav, besides the fact that he would deceive him, he was sai b'fiv, he was always bringing him his best hunts, his best foods, he was serving him, he loved him. With an uncompromising commitment. Therefore he achieved this even more than Yaakov. Then it states, asked, why does it say that Esav was called Edom? He was called red because of the porridge. What does this have to do with porridge? Porridge was sold from Yaakov to Esav. The porridge was red, and therefore Esav was called red. And what did Esav mean when he said, I'll gladly give you my birthright because lomeli bechera. If I'm going to die, what do I need my birthright for? The Chazal tell us, what was the discussion? Yaakov said, I'll give you the porridge. Esav evidently was desperate. He might have even been dying. He was desperate and he needed something to eat. And Yaakov wasn't giving up to the food so easily. So he says, I'll give you the porridge, but one condition. You sell me the schus of you being the firstborn. So Esav said, what is that schus? He says, that's the schus of the Abaydu. In those days, the one who was the firstborn, it was before the Kahanim were chosen, the one who was the firstborn would be Kahanim. They would serve. They would represent the family
in the Avodah, in bringing sacrifices to Hashem.
So Esav says, what is this Avodah?
So Yaakov told him, you bring sacrifices to Hashem, you do mitzvahs to Hashem, and so forth and so on. And Esav says, and what do I get for it? So Yaakov says, in the next world, you'll get paid for it. And Esav said, and if I give you this schus ha-becheiru, what will you give me? He says, I'll give you the porridge. So Esav made a cheshbon. He says, this person is talking about the next world, and meanwhile I'm dying in this world. I'm dying here. I have nothing to eat. And he's telling me that I have a schus that'll get me something to eat in the next world. He said, "Lo li becheira v'ani heilech lomus." He says, "I don't need the becheira because there is no next world." He says, "There is no next world. This is the whole world, and I need this world. And therefore, I will give you the schus becheira if you will give me what to eat in this world." Now, this transaction was a very important transaction, but because this represented Esav selling the spiritual world for the physical world. He says, give me the porridge, which is food on this world, and I'll pay you with my rewards of the next world. So he sold the spiritual world for the physical world. Now it's understandable why Alkein Karoshma Edom. Therefore he was called Edom. Because this is the epitome, Hashem Meir Ala Etzem, a name tells us what he is. This is the epitome of Esav. Esav was this world, and he would give his life and everything for this world, even the next world he would give for this world. And therefore he was called Edom, and the name of the physical porridge. And Chazal tell us, they go further. They say that if you'll examine his nation, everything was red. It says the food they ate was red. The porridge. It says their clothing was red. They used to wear red clothing. They worshipped the sun, and the sun is red. Chazal tell us that the sun is made of an element which is red. And they counted by the sun. And everything about this nation is red. And why is that? Because the strongest force on this world, the physical world, is the sun. Kodesh Baruch Hu gave the sun to this world to be the strongest force. And the sun is known as the Mor HaGodl, the great light. And Esav is called the Ochiv HaGodl, Ochicha HaGodl. He is the oldest, the great son, the great brother. And he counts by the sun. And he worships the sun. Because he worships the powers of the physical world. And therefore, his color is Edom, and he is called Edom. Yaakov, on the other hand, Yaakov is called the Ochil HaKotan. He's the younger brother. And Yaakov counts by the moon, the Levona. And the Levona is called Levona because it's white. The Levona doesn't represent a great light in this world. The fact is, many times it even becomes concealed in this world. This represents, because this world is not Yaakov's world. The next world is Yaakov's world. And there it states that the moon will become even greater than the sun. And then finally, we asked, how was it that Esav ended up with these precious clothing from Odom HaRishon? Mr. Maral says something very interesting. These were two great brothers, and they were dividing the worlds between them. One was to become the master of this world, and the other one was to become the master of the spiritual world. Adam encompassed everything. And when he died, so he left over as an inheritance the spiritual part of the first man of Adam HaRishon and the physical part of Adam HaRishon. Yaakov inherited the spirit. Esav inherited the physical part. And therefore the clothing of Esav, of Adam, was inherited by Esav. So from these points we get a good insight into the different characters and qualities of these two great others. Yaakov to become the Av of Israel and Esav to become the Av of Edom. Therefore we see in their children, Edom was to become a nation which would be an external nation. It would be a nation that was interested in the physical world, that would pursue physical wealth, physical desires, physical powers. The Gemara brings him again in Masecht HaVeirazora, Yotza Tivu B'chol Eilam Kule, that Esau, the reputation of Edom and of Rome will be known throughout the entire world. This is part of the of this quality. Well, to be able to create an enormous amount of pirsum. Pirsum is propaganda, enormous amount of publicity, where the whole world will know of them. Who doesn't know of the Roman Empire? And at the same time, they will try to promote an image of Tara, of purity, with the medaktik mitzvahs. The Roman Empire always tried to promote an image where they were of the founders of modern civilization. Yaakov is just to the contrary. Yaakov is not interested in a great image or a great publicity in this world, because Yaakov represents the spirit, and the spirit is usually concealed. This is the quality of tznius, which is found by Israel. It states tznuim chochma, esnuim hachochma. The wisdom of Torah goes to those who are low profile. Goes to those who are quiet, those who are concealed. And this all the time was the quality of Yaakov. It was always the way of the righteous. It was always the way of the righteous to be very modest, to walk very humbly. Like the Novi says, the Novi says, Veleches Vahatznea Leches Imelakecho, that when you walk with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, how are you supposed to walk with him? You're supposed to walk very modestly, secretly. That you should walk secretly with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This was always the way. Unfortunately, we live in the Western culture today, where the Western culture is noise. You turn on the radio, you turn read the newspapers, you turn watch television, everything is noise. Everything is claims. Everything is information. Communication, that's what you hear today. It's important that everyone should have all of the information, and it should be communicated to everyone, even if we have to bounce the beams off the moon and off the satellites. It must be communicated, and it must be communicated now. The news is so important that the world must know about it now. It's not enough if they'll know about it a year later. Now it must be known. And tons, millions of acres of trees are cut down to create the paper that all of this should be printed up. And all of the advertisement that's churned out, public relations. This is the Western world. And at the same time, trying to promote an image like we find with the United Nations, where everything is perfect. That great tribunal of law and justice that could only have existed for so many decades in such a decadent Western culture. Otherwise, it would have been impossible to exist. It could have only been tolerated for so many decades in such a decadent culture, which is a total prostitution of the truth. And at the same time, the nations fund it. Evidently, they have some utilization from it. Unfortunately, or tragically, this seeps into the Jews also. But we should know this is not the quality. This is not the Jewish quality at all. This is Esau's quality. It's not Torah quality at all. Tragically, we find it in the Jewish camps too. And we find it in the Torah camps. And you should know this is not Torah quality at all. And don't believe anyone who tells you it is. When I had the schools to learn by great Litvisher Gedalim, there, the greater the person was, the more modest he was. The greater the individual was, the quieter he was. The greater he was, the less noise he made. The greater he was, the less machlekes he made. The greater he was, the less he would be medaktik b'mitzvahs b'farhesha. Great Rosh Yeshivas I had the schus to be by. And if they wanted to do a mitzvah that looked a little like they were doing a little more than the average person, they would do it b'chadrei chadorim, in inner chambers where no one would see them. Like the Gemara says many times, Mechsik Yehuda. Even the Ramesha Feinstein writes in a place where there was a particular type of whiskey or brandy which he usually didn't drink, but because, according to some opinions, it wasn't kosher. But he says if he was by a brocha simcha, he would always drink a little, that people shouldn't think that he's trying to be more frum than others. This is what Ramesha Feinstein writes on himself. This was the Gon Hador. This was the way. If they were Mahadir, if they wanted to be a medaktik b'mitzvah, you didn't see it. This they did in inner chambers. This was always the way. And this was Hatznea Leches Imalakecho. To walk privately, secretly, humbly with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This was the Derech of Yaakov. The other is the Derech of Esav. It is not at all the Torah way. So there is a great deal that we must learn from here, because the Amudi, the pillars of Klal Yisrael, were Avraham, Yitzchak, and the final perfection through Yaakov Avinu.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at P.O. Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.